going on, everyone? Happy Valentine's Day if you celebrate, and a joyous ass Wednesday if you partake. It's Draped in Gold, baby, your one-stop shop for NXT content all across the world. Your boy, Flobo Boys, in the catbird seat, but as always, I am not alone. I am being joined by the award-winning host and master of ceremonies and checks notes DJ. Wow! Real Jack Farmer!
I don't know if taking part in Valentine's Day is something you get to decide. I believe it's if there's a loved one in your life that tells you whether or not you decide if you partake in Valentine's Day.
Poppycock and Boulder Dash. I buy all the candy, single and otherwise.
That's not celebrating Valentine's Day. That just happens to be. You'd do that whether this was a day on the calendar or not.
It's true. I also celebrate Super Bowl Sunday when it comes to eating snack foods. are you and Lady Farmer doing something tonight, or is that a thing you guys do anymore?
No, we had a little bit of a night out last night where because I'm covering AEW tonight for Wrestling Inc. So I am not going to be able to really do much, but we don't really do a whole big deal for Valentine's Day. I feel like when you've been with someone for a while, your Valentine's Day is either like Valentine's Day is for like either new couples or people who have kids and need an excuse to put something on the calendar. You know what I mean?
Either new couples or couples on the rocks.
Yeah.
We're in a rut. I know what will save everything.
Right. Also, flowers and chocolate.
Props are being smart for not only working a show and getting those props, but then doing it like before so you beat the crowds. I mean, you're winning on both ends, man.
Yeah. You know, it's I'm a pretty, I mean, I've been doing this for a while now.
I'm an OG. Tom Brady, baby. Shout out to everyone watching on listening to on Facebook, on Twitter, or X, or LinkedIn, and Twitch, and Trovo, and also the audio version. In fact, if you're listening to the version on Spotify or Apple, a review will help us out greatly. 5 stars is what you need. Put a little comment in there. Let us know what we're doing right and what we're doing not so right so we can adjust or ignore you. We haven't really decided that.
Yeah, those reviews are really important. Even if it's not on the Apple platform, if you just go into whatever platform you're watching on, whether it be YouTube or on Twitter, those things really do matter and they really do help the SEO, especially on LinkedIn. I mean, the streaming platform giant. Let us know what's going on over there.
I know this is the equivalent of like rolling up to like a basketball game and having a folding chair or center court, but I don't care. I qualified for LinkedIn streaming. I'm going to stream every week. Dang it.
Watch out, Netflix. Here comes LinkedIn.
Are you still watching? All right, let's get into everything that happened this week on NXT, the best wrestling show when it comes to character stuff. Our NXT Tag Team Championships was on the line when the Wolf Dogs took on the Family, Tony D and Channing Stacks Lorenzo. And can you believe it, Jack Farmer? We have new champs.
Yeah, I absolutely can believe it. I mean, from the beginning, this team of Baron Corbin and Braun Breaker, the only thing that could have held them back is if they weren't able to get on the same page. Well, here they are. They're on the same page. Their chemistry's been off the charts. I don't think there's anyone who can stop them. This is a world-class tag team that really matches everything that you would want in a team. And the fact that they're both sort of assuming the roles that they need to, that is Baron Corbin as a veteran who's been around helping to strategize, helping to get the team going, and Braun Breaker being the young athletic rookie and really taking the athleticism to the next level. This is a team that is firing on all cylinders, and there's no one who I think is even close to being on their level right now.
You are full of duty, Jack, and here's the reason why. Because a month ago on this show, you said you wouldn't bet against the Family, and not only did they lost this match, we'll get into it as well as the show goes on, they lost a second match, 2 L's on the same night, and you're like, so anyway, the Wolf Dogs are great. Well, defend your homies. I thought they were your guys.
Well, my bet a month ago isn't the same bet as I'm making today.
I mean, look,
you could have, people would have bet on the Ravens to go to the Super Bowl a month ago.
I wouldn't.
Right? Like, facts change. The thing about Baron Corbin and Braun Breaker, like I said, was, are they going to get on the same page? It looked like two egos that maybe couldn't coexist. But they did get on the same page. And now they are something that I think is completely unstoppable. The Family, I love them to death. I think they got a little complacent. I think they sat at the top of the mountain. I think their plates have been full for a long time, and they just weren't that hungry anymore. I didn't see that hunger in them anymore, not just in the ring, and not just what they were doing as far as defending the titles, but the family business doesn't seem like it's been quite as hot as it was.
Really? You see it? It's never on TV.
That, well, you know, I have my hands in a lot of cookie jars.
What are you doing when the lights go out, Jack? What shady corners are you occupying?
I told you when the lights go out, that was last night. No.
Happy Valentine's Day, folks.
I think they just got complacent. I think sometimes when you're on top, it's hard for you to imagine a world where you're not on top anymore. And I think these guys lost that hunger. I think the family, in a lot of ways, this will be good for them. It will remind them that every now and again, if you want to stay on top, you got to remind everyone below you who is the baddest. And to this week, they weren't.
Got to give a shout out to Flappuccino with the chat and also Poppy those underpants. Thank you so much on the Twitch side. But I'll get to the family a little bit later after this one. But look, top of the mountain, as you say it, it's Braun Breaker, it's Baron Corbin. But in the background, in a little silhouette, is a picture of the SmackDown contract we've been seeing in Braun Breaker's hands. And next to that, the contract that's been from Raw in his hands. How can Braun Breaker focus on being atop the tag team division if he has main roster aspirations on his mind?
Well, he absolutely has main roster aspirations on his mind. That's what everyone in NXT wants, is that big contract to get signed by Raw or SmackDown. And the fact that he's being courted by both, I think just is going to drive up the price for him. It's going to drive up the demand for him, and it's going to make it even harder to ignore those contracts. But that's what being a top-level athlete is. I mean, right now the NFL season's over, and that means a lot of teams are looking to the draft, and that means there's a lot of college athletes who are having to decide, look, do I go to the draft or do I stay yet another year in college football? And I think that's exactly where Braun Breaker is now the time to sign that contract. It's a tough decision. I don't know what he's going to do, but I also think that this isn't uncharted territory for elite level athletes like a Braun Breaker.
You do love that college football analogy, I tells you.
I certainly do. If I had a college band theme song to play right now, I would.
Okay,
I don't know what are they...
The show's over, guys. Jack is going to do a whole rendition of like beatboxing college band music. Tiger Rag. On the other side of the family, though, we had
Adrian. What say you, by the way? Why don't you mock my opinions? I mean, Braun Breaker, tag team champion, completely dominant. Do you think this is going to be an issue for the Wolf Dog 2?
You're asking the wrong guy. You are asking the wrong man, the Draped in Gold Show. I understand I'm the only guy you can possibly ask that question to right now. And the reason being is that I didn't think these guys should have been together at all. You had the lone wolf that had a mission on his redemption tour. You had someone, Braun Breaker, everyone told me was going to be the face. There were rumors last year about him taking down the tribal chief, and you stick them together and you put them in the Dusty Classic so you reap what you sow, Jack.
Wait, what you reap, what you sow. This has been nothing but success. So they've reaped, they're reaping a lot of well-sown stuff.
Being pulled in two different directions of being atop of one division and having an opportunity going somewhere else. This is something that should have been avoided. Braun Breaker should have been on the main roster on himself doing things, not sitting there contemplating being which contract, which money, which package. He should have been already wrecking fools a year ago, but yet he is stuck in college, using your analogy, in the Dusty Cup because he didn't know what he was doing, and now another opportunity to arise, and now he's all conflicted.
So wait, you're upset that he held off. Now he's getting bigger contract offers. He's being fought over by two general managers, and he is an NXT tag team champion. This, he's absolutely made the right play across the board. How can you debate that he's made any mistakes? If he was to get signed earlier, who knows what would have happened? Who knows what he would have had to dealt with? Now he's got nothing but success here. Even if he signs a contract and does nothing on the main roster, it's going to be a bigger contract than he would have gotten had he signed it a year ago.
There's something called opportunity cost. You say that now because it's all nice and neat in front of you every Tuesday night and possibly Friday or Monday night. We're not really sure, but it could have been a Intercontinental Championship run or a U.S. title run already. We don't know that because he took the slow road when he could have been on the fast track, Jack. You can't deny that.
The fast track is littered with the bodies of broken wrestlers who thought that they were going to strike it big.
They were
the long road. They were the long road, though. They're doing well.
What say you in the chat below, especially if you're listening on that audio version? Let us know what you think. Did Bron Breakker make the right choice by being a wolf dog? Only time will tell. But the other side of the family situation, though, was Adrienne Rizzo versus Jada Parker. Both teams, OTM and the family, were banned by ringside by general manager Ava, officially Ava, no longer Ava Reign. This one here would have been an even contest, although it kind of wasn't. Jada Parker with the height and weight advantage makes quick work of Adrienne Rizzo. And her fake accent, I know it. But Jack, talk me through this one. Is the OTM family war going to continue?
I want to do a Rizzo accent, but I'm really bad at accents. So I'm like, what are you talking about? But that's as good as
that was perfect. That was so as good as ours. I was sitting there going, I know what region is it today. Is it North Jersey? Is it East Long Island? Let me know, Rizzo.
By the way, that impression I did is how I impersonate any accent anywhere.
You do. That's like, my impression too, by the way.
Yeah, it's like, hey, Jack, do an Australian accent. I'm like, welcome to Australia.
Walking here.
Why am I doing this in Australia?
Down under, huh?
Forget Welcome about it. Down under. Why don't you? In any case, so Jada Parker, you and I have both been very high on Jada Parker. And in fact, we even said that, at least I believe, that she is sort of the strategic advantage that OTM has over the family. Now, didn't play out in previous matchups, but Jada Parker, I think she's got everything you're looking for in a talent in the ring. Once she's able to make that transition from being someone who's been able to fight out on the streets to being able to fight in the ring, she's going to be a real threat. She's going to be a problem. Rizzo impressed me, though.
Go on.
Rizzo, everyone's been saying, the family's been saying that Rizzo is this tough person that can beat people up. And I didn't know if I believed it. Didn't know if I could see it. But I saw the fight in Rizzo today. I saw the fight in Rizzo at this event, and she didn't get the win. And I'm not saying that she's someone who is going to take the world by storm, per se, but I do believe that Rizzo, if given time, if given the slow road that you hate so much,
I think farms and ranches.
She could become quite the professional wrestler. I like Rizzo here. I think Rizzo is a good long play person to watch.
Look, I get that. I understand that. I think everyone has upside NXT. You wouldn't be invited to the dance if you weren't. And we actually saw Adrienne Rizzo handle some of the family business, whatever that may be, with Chase Yu also in the show. But I got to be honest with you. She looked outclassed in the six-man tag match a couple weeks ago, and this was a chance for redemption. But Jada Parker didn't even look bothered. I understand that's what you want to do is have someone on your team who is just that good. But if you're Tony D, after losing the gold, can you trust Adrienne Rizzo in that division?
Like I said, it's a long growth. If I'm making a power ranking, am I putting her at the top of the list? Absolutely not. I agree with Killer Demons here. Thanks so much for coming by, KOD. I like Rizzo, but Jada Parker got it. I agree. Jada Parker, if I'm putting a team together, if I'm drafting today, Jada Parker by a mile, that's the person I draft. But what I am saying is if this was baseball, if I had a AAA league, if I had someone I wanted to develop into my next star, if I had someone who there's a football team and I had a backup QB, I think Rizzo is someone you could put in that role. And down the road in a few years, she can be something that is something really special in pro wrestling. She showed me a lot of fight. I don't think she's going to be the champion today. I don't think Lyra Valkyria needs to stress about what Rizzo's doing next. But I do think that this time next year, a year from now, 2 years from now, that Rizzo's going to be a very talented wrestler.
Can someone just tell me what her accent is supposed to be? Because Tony D'Angelo's from Chicago, and I got this lady doing Jersey, Long Island, Rockland County. I'm just saying, which one is it? Just put it out
there. It's South African.
Oh, the South African outfit. I love it. Right. Forget about it.
I don't know. I just do this.
Australia, South Africa, Norway.
It's New Orleans over here.
Either the world's going to love us or we'll be banned the entire planet when this show goes on the road. Let's talk about the women's divisions and also things I don't understand. Tatum Paxley had a match against Lola Vice, who was the former contract holder, NXT breakout contract holder. This one here was a chance for Lola Vice to get some redemption, because this time last week she took two losses in 6 days. Tatum Paxley tries, she might, was going to be under siege, but Lyra Valkyria shows up. Here's somebody that was creeped out by Tatum Paxley, but now it seems as if she's a friend, non-friend, help her out thingy. What say you?
Well, first off, I'm glad that Lola Vice was able to come in and get some revenge for what happened here. I think that we can talk about it's
broke. Yeah, bada boom,
hey. Hey, bada. So I think that Lola Vice is a lot of people who are really high on her right now. I think it's all well deserved. She won the breakout tournament, talented in the ring, but I'm always interested in the mindset. I'm always interested in the approach that these wrestlers use.
Before you continue, she did beat Electra Lopez pretty handily, so she had that mindset.
Yes, no, but what I'm saying is I like that she didn't let Tatum Paxley get away with anything. She didn't just say, hey, that sucks, I'm going to take my loss and move on and try to get another title shot. She said, no, if you mess with me, I'm going to mess you up. And I think that is the kind of mindset you need to have to stop things like that happening in the future. So I really love that Lola Vice did this. I love that she had this match and put away this issue with Tatum Paxley. But Tatum Paxley, I got to give her credit. I thought she was very much punching above her weight here, because all the things we said, Lola Vice won the breakout tournament, handedly beat Electra Lopez, stood in there with the champion. Lola Vice is a top-tier athlete. Tatum Paxley went in there and she hung with her. I thought that was really good by Tatum Paxley, but you're right. The story here is, finally, we're starting to see through the feathers of Lyra Valkyria. Always trying to act like Tatum Paxley and her aren't connected at the hip, that right, they're not friends. We're seeing through the conspiracy here. Lyra Valkyria has been on board with everything Tatum Paxley's been doing since day one.
Interesting.
This is clearly something, you know. Of course, Lyra Valkyria doesn't want us to know that she likes Tatum Paxley getting involved, likes Tatum Paxley attacking people, likes Tatum Paxley doing the dirty work. But that's the way it is. Tatum Paxley clearly is just the hatchet man for Lyra Valkyria, while Lyra Valkyria keeps her innocent and friendly demeanor. I'm just glad we're starting to see through it. I'm glad everyone is starting to see through it.
You know, 2 weeks ago, I was saying, get your tinfoil hats off. It's a conspiracy theory. But it's hard not to deny that Jack Farmer's right. And you can tell how much that makes me sick to my stomach. You came down to ringside, you saw Tatum Paxley, and then you carry her over the threshold backstage, and even felt kind of flustered when Lyra Valkyria's eventual challenger, Shotzi, was like, what's up with your friend? She's like, she's not my friend. But if she's not your friend, why are you acting what friends would do? I'm really confused here. Is this something brewing between the two?
Between Tatum Paxley and Valkyria, it's brewed. It's done. That brew has been brewed, and we're all enjoying it now. It's already happened. I mean, the look on Lyra Valkyria's face after she said she's not really my friend and after everything wasn't that she didn't understand the relationship between the two. Lyra Valkyria just realized she was caught. She realized she was caught red-handed is what was happening. So she didn't know how to react in that situation, because she knew that the world saw and she didn't want to admit it. But she also kind of felt like, clearly I'm lying here. I think Lyra Valkyria, we're seeing through all the shenanigans, and we're seeing through that she's someone you just can't trust. NXT, not a good place to trust people.
I don't know. You can't really make alliances week to week. Your characters just decide to do some things that make you go, why? I don't like you, but you're kind of cool. But I don't know why. But I mean, it's pretty dope. You should be a tag team.
I mean, let's play devil's advocate. And let's say that Lyra Valkyria wasn't on board with Tatum Paxley from the beginning. Let's say she was like, this person's creepy. Let's say I don't want anything to do with you.
Been there.
It's hard to push away somebody who's constantly there to help you out. It's something you see with fame all the time. People are like, hey, I don't want to be famous.
I don't, Jack. What is fame?
I don't want to be famous. I don't want people who are just hangers on. But then you find yourself going, man, I could go for a Diet Coke right now. And suddenly one of these hangers on brings a Diet Coke over. Like, that's pretty convenient. You know, and then suddenly you're like, hey, I wish someone would take care of this. Oh, they'll take care of this. I mean, you watch Entourage, talk about a dated reference, but Entourage, there's a reason that Vincent Chase kept all those guys like Turtle around to drive them around everywhere. It becomes very nice to have people who essentially do everything for you that you don't want to do. And I think Lyra Valkyria, starting to feel what that's like to have people at your beck and call doing everything that you want to have done. It's intoxicating, Flo, but how, you can't expect Lara Valkyria to turn it away.
Yeah, I'm with you, Flap. Try to see where this is going to go because I am definitely confused. We got to go in the interest of time because this one here is a question I want to ask you. It's Niall time for. This brings us to this week's general manager pick. I love how you look so like fresh and young in those pictures, man. I love it.
Thank you. Well, I always look fresh and young.
Okay. So, hey, man, Valentine's Day was last night for you. So,
this is the youngest I'm ever going to look. So.
And that is deep, man. That's profound. I'm only getting older. So we saw Shotzi Blackheart, or the former Shotzi Blackheart, challenge the NXT Women's Championship at next week's episode. Spoilers are out there, but I haven't watched them or read them because I'm a good fan. And we also saw Oba Femi have a little bit of a word with the eventual challenger for the North American title. But I have to ask you this. If you, the general manager, presumably, of NXT, had an option to have a main roster talent come on down and challenge Oba Femi for the North American title, who would you pick?
Ooh, that is a really enticing question and really interesting question there. I think if I could have anyone, I would say Gunther, title for title.
Oh.
Two big meaty men slapping meat. I want to see, we want to see how big and dominant Oba Femi really is. Let's put him against one of the most dominant people there are on the main roster. And look, you want to see just how big of a tree Gunther can chop down? This is the biggest tree in the forest. Let's see these two go at it, and let's see who the winner is. Who's the toughest? Who's the biggest? Who's the baddest?
You know what? I usually just don't answer this because you're the general manager here. But if I was running the show, I was watching that promo between Alexis King and Oba Femi, and I was like, man, if Oba Femi calls himself the ruler, I wonder how he would fare against the megastar, L.A. Knight. I'm just saying, I'd be a cool match. I will be on board. I would be definitely worth a Tuesday night delight if I had the choice.
You know, I would love to see anything with LA Knight involved. I'm a big LA Knight fan, but you talked about the ruler for a second. I thought you were going to say there's only one ruler of WWE, and that is the King of the Ring, Xavier Woods. Let's see him get knocked around by
that is non-canon. That King of the Ring was in Saudi Arabia. That crown was broken on TV. I don't count that. Finn Balor should have won that tournament. I'm just putting it out there. Okay, anyway. Killer got me mad. Killer Demon says, Oba Femi is a real leader of the Serengeti. Oba Femi, Wakanda forever. Now, there is a lot of Saharan African chants for someone who's from West Africa. I mean, is that like too much, you think? Or is that something that you can really roll into for Oba Femi? You imagine WrestleMania crowds going, dun, dun, hoo, hoo, dun, dun.
I think that we're Americans here, primarily watching the show, and Americans are historically terrible at geography.
So, hell yeah, we are darn tootin'. Yeehaw!
I mean, really bad. I mean, really bad. So I think that if we got the continent right, you just got to consider it a win.
Fair enough. I thought Wakanda was real. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I bet if you ask a lot of folks here in the United States,
Well, I gotta move on because we get ourselves in trouble. We get ourselves in trouble almost every week of the show somehow. And it's usually me. I'm like, so Jack, explain to me. Do you think he's African enough? I'm like, why would I even do that? But
fortunately, Rich, we're not popular enough to worry about. Not.
All two of our viewers are probably going to get us uncanceled. All right, Rich Holland has his original NXT UK music back, which is kind of cool because he didn't think old music would make an appearance in WWE. But he's going through what's called the Gallus Gauntlet. Last week, he won a 3-1. Ava's like, no, because she's actually a smart GM. I said, you'll do one at a time. He did pretty good, that Rich Holland. Takes out Wolfgang, which is a sad thing to see because I always thought Wolfgang was the strongest guy on the team. But it all breaks down after that. And Rich Holland goes through Gallus, which was a thing 3 years ago, but I'll admit, not nearly as impressive, but he has like a whole thing in his brain. He broods about it. But I'm like, if he wanted to beat them up, why is he so upset with himself, Jack?
Well, Rich Holland, clearly an unlikable person. Clearly someone that...
Moving on, our next matchup.
Can't get behind. I mean, I thought it was very interesting. He's fighting these three guys at the same time. And how many people are out there to help him? How many people there have his back? How many people are like, look, man, even if I don't like you, just for the sake of justice and fairness, I'll help you out. Nobody. Nobody wanted to come out there. Nobody was there to help him out. And I think that that's a sign of the kind of person Rich Holland really is. And I think it's clear why people don't like him. The guy's clearly got an anger problem. He's unhinged. I mean, first off, you got to not be right in the head if you're going to challenge three members of Gallus, right? You can't be right in the head if you're going to be doing that. But then also, of course, he goes on the outside and gets the whole thing thrown out because of an interaction with Joe Coffey, who's not in the match yet. And then after the match, he goes on a crazy murder spree. Fortunately,
yeah.
Gallus, heroes of the day, were there to help protect the officials while he was going crazy and to slow him down. Now,
heroes.
Okay, after all this, but I think that Rich Holland is a problem, and I hope Ava sees what he did and stops rewarding him by giving him what he wants and starts punishing him for acting out the way he did.
Well, you know what? I was going to ask this question anyway, but what you just said added some new layer of context, because Rich Holland, to his credit, won that match against three individuals, granted by DQ, but he got it done. A couple months ago, you said Last Legend is your breakout talent of NXT. Can Rich qualify on the male side, you think, or is too far gone for someone that unhinged?
I don't think he's going to be able to do it, because you're right. He's unhinged. He's unpredictable, and I don't bet on unpredictable. I don't bet on unhinged. Now, could he? I mean, anything's possible. He's talented enough, and he's obviously good. He took Gallus there to the limit. He got the win one way or the other. My biggest issue with breakout star of the year is less about Rich Holland, though, and more about the guy we talked about a little bit ago, and that's Obafemi. I think Obafemi is the clear front runner in that case, and it's sort of his position to lose right now.
Interesting case. I mean, hey, Obafemi, you can't say anyone's broken out quicker or as forcefully as that man. So props to him as that. And real quick on the breakout side of things, we had this match against Kenna James and Brinley Reese, and Brinley got dispatched pretty quick, but she was pretty happy about it, despite the fact that Idris Inofe didn't like the fact she was happy about it. But can I say that my girl, Kenna James, has this improved 3, 4, 5, 8 times over? I mean, she could be Flo Beto's breakout talent of the year.
Yeah, I mean, Kiana James is great, and I think she's been great. I feel like she's struggled to get the path to success for a while. She's struggled to find the way she's going to get there, but maybe she's found that now. She's getting these wins. She's looking dominant. She's getting sort of an entourage of her own around her, which is really, really good to see.
Oh yeah,
I think Brinley showed me a lot as well. I think she potentially has a bright future. I think if there was a story to the event this week, it's that there is a lot of talent, especially in the women's division, who, if given time to develop, will become very, very talented individuals. And I think Brinley Reese is definitely one of them. A little disappointed she was so happy after her loss.
I was about to say, you're a killer instinct guy.
Yeah, I want people to feel
you're also a thigh guy, by the way, but definitely killer instinct.
Brinley doesn't qualify. I have strict rules. It's fair, thigh fair. Guys. It's the thigh guys. You got to be a
absolutely
fella to be a thigh
absolutely
guy.
No judgment.
But I think that she has it. But I do want her to actually listen to Idris Inofe and sort of realize that sometimes the most positive thing you can do is understand that you did something wrong, understand that you messed up. You got to taste that defeat. You got to have the little chip on your shoulder. You got to understand that this is not okay. And you got to use that to motivate you to that next level. I don't like that she had someone dump out her coffee and then beat her in a match and her just go, whatever, it's all good. No, it's not good.
She said she's going to train harder, come back strong. She said that. Malik liked it. She was like all about it. Brinley.
I think Malik just likes Brinley, which, you know, I mean, don't blame him. But I think that there's a difference between being happy. We talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
Happy to be there is different than I need to win. And I think right now Brinley's in happy to be there category, and she needs to get to I have to win, because those are going to be those little differences, you know?
I like it. But then again, historically, I've always been a mark for happy to be here gimmicks. Molly Holly, the first version of Bayley. It's kind of my thing, but I get it. You want to be able to win matches as well.
But I mean, Bayley's success as far as being a champion went through the roof after she stopped being happy to be there.
Absolutely.
Started becoming more aggressive.
Now, don't get me started because I am a Bayley historian, but that was kind of her thing. When she got brought up to Raw, they were saying, I don't think you have the killer instinct. She had to put, well, she tried to put down Ronda Rousey, but I think still to this day, one of Ronda Rousey's most grueling, complete matches up was with Bayley. But that's just another story for another day. But think about guys who win. Oh, by the way, I haven't said this last week, but I have to say it this week. Byron Saxton is a breath of fresh air on commentary, man. I know it's temporary. Brooke T, get well soon. But I love seeing and hearing Byron on the call, especially with this matchup. Carmelo Hayes against Joe Gacy in his upside down, oddly simple, but oddly really disorienting intro. Had a match that made me question reality and my sanity. Jack, walk me through this one.
Well, I mean, I think that this was, again, this is the best Joe Gacy's ever been. I think Joe Gacy is really found a place for himself here with the mix of being that the guy who's happy and peaceful, but also just explosive, durable. I think this guy's a problem. And I think the fact that he pushed Carmelo Hayes as hard as he did is evidence of that. Carmelo Hayes, one of the best all-time NXT wrestlers ever, bar none. I think going back with Black and Gold, yeah, I'm talking about all of them. I think Carmelo
Hayes. One of the best?
I say one of the best so that we don't get caught in the minutia of someone popping into the chat and being like, well, actually, Finn Balor had six, you know, whatever, and then give me some.
I totally support covering your butt. Fine, continue.
So, but Carmelo Hayes, I mean, one of the best. I don't think you can argue that he's not in the category, at least. Joe Gacy pushed him. Joe Gacy was hanging out there with him. I think that Joe Gacy is really starting to come on to something here. As soon as he stopped worrying about what the roots of his tree are doing and started just stopped worrying even about himself, clearly, and just sort of let his brain go. Let it go where it needs to go. It's a lot of things with athletes. You talk about strategy and planning, but sometimes the best thing you can do for an athlete is let them act on instinct. And I think that Joe Gacy is now just acting on instinct, and it's made him incredible. What's next for his career? Well, we've seen a glimpse of it, but Joe Gacy, one to watch.
I love having athletes go on instinct. You want to hear another old reference? That was Latrell Sprewell's whole game. But, you know, unpredictability can be an X factor both ways for a team. Two things came out of this matchup for me. I know they're pretty huge. One, the smaller issue of the two, I would say, is that Dijak got a straitjacket. Where? Where do you get straitjackets in Orlando? And he totally put Joe Gacy in it. And all the referees are like, hey, man, stop. Don't do that. No, please stop. They had no force to stop Dijak. They had this man totally encapsulated in cloth.
Well, I'm surprised you don't have a straitjacket guy. There's actually lots of if there's one town in America where straitjackets are probably easily available.
Pop-up store in a parking lot?
Yeah, it's probably Orlando.
Fair enough.
I mean, I'm sure that I'm sure that there are like fireworks stands around 4th of July in Orlando. Yeah, you know, I think Dijak, he said he's going to bring justice to NXT, and he meant that. Some wrestlers that are about titles, and I'm sure that obviously Dijak got caught up in that last week, but other people, they have a purpose, and Dijak has a purpose. It's to bring justice to NXT. And for as much as I love what Joe Gacy's doing, he's a menace. He's getting involved in matches. He's doing things all over the parking lot and the roof and in the dumpsters and things like that. Someone needs to restrain him, and that's exactly what Dijak's looking to do.
NXT is so fun, but I know wrestling purists can't stand the fact that there's no such thing as a protagonist or antagonist in that brand. Because Joe Gacy looks like he was a protagonist against Carmelo Hayes, but then he's also kind of unhinged. But Dijak isn't a good guy either. It was like, who do I put my chips on if I was going to go to Vegas to bet on this? Not say I would, but if I would, who would I bet on, you know?
Well, that's why when you watch wrestling, I think this is the biggest mistake most wrestling fans make. And I think you'll agree with me, especially as we're going into WrestleMania season. We get too far in our heads. We get too far in planning and thinking, and what does this mean for this and that and the other, and how will this play out? Just watch with your heart. If you feel like if you like Gacy, he's the protagonist. If you like Dijak, he's the protagonist. Just how do they make you feel? And if they don't make you feel anything, that's the only problem.
Deep. Killer Demon 669 says, Gacy kind of tapping into his days of CZW. I haven't heard that brand in so many, many years. I sense a straight jacket match or an asylum match, which is interesting because NXT tends to be the lab for new stipulations. I wonder if they'll go that far.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how, not just because with NXT and their new stipulations, you mentioned the testing ground, you're right. Not just will they have a straitjacket match, for instance, but will they put a spin on it? Will they do something different to make it more interesting than maybe straitjacket matches we've seen in the past?
All I want is Slamboree. But on the other side of this matchup, Carmelo Hayes says that win was for Ilya Dragunov. Now, we'd always say that rivalries are kind of done over a certain time. We had Carmelo Hayes, Dragunov 1, 2, and 3. And we all know that Carmelo tried as much to get a title back, but not. But this is a brand new Carmelo. Two questions. Are you down for Hayes, Dragunov 4? And 2, can Carmelo get that gold back around his waist?
I say yes to all accounts. Carmelo Hayes and Dragunov, they have a special kind of chemistry where I think that it could be Hayes Dragunov 17 and I'll be like, let's go, let's do this. And I'm never, ever going to be against Carmelo Hayes when it comes to winning a championship. I think he's too talented to ever count out. And I think he absolutely could become the champion again.
I will say this. I am so disappointed that Carmelo hit Trick Williams, but I like the fact that Carmelo has an edge, which is interesting to me because the last time he had edge, I was saying, oh my gosh, Carmelo, your personality changed. What are you doing? I like Dragunov. I kind of feel that NXT fans got a bad rap. Dragunov is fantastic. He's amazing. He's unbesiegbar. It impresses all my German friends. I can say that word out loud. But I kind of missed the UK iteration of Dragunov. I'm not sure what it is. Is it because he's not talking? He's talking way more? I don't know what it is. But the UK version of Dragunov, to me, felt like something of my nightmares. Here in Orlando, I go, oh, I'll have to get straight jacket and I'm fine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we've gushed about NXT UK for a very long time. There's very few. Forever. Yeah, there's very few things that I'm going to say it's better in the States than it was in NXT UK. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. So I think it's almost unfair to compare the two. But yeah, something about Dragunov felt dangerous in NXT UK. It felt like whenever he was in a match. And look, he still seems dangerous in NXT. Don't get me wrong. But I just think. But again, I think it's a little an unfair comparison. I think it's a different world. It's a bit like when you talk about a wrestler who was in Lucha Underground before coming to a different brand. It's fair enough. It was just a different world. You can't really compare apples to apples with those two. But with Carmelo Hayes, I always said that Carmelo Hayes was always honest with us. Carmelo Hayes was always straight shooting with us. And he was. This is always the Carmelo Hayes he said he was. He always said, I am him. He never said, we are they. He never said
why would he say that?
because he's always said it's about him. If you go back to when we first met Carmelo Hayes, this is exactly who he is. Who he was. He never lied ever about who he is. Now, I hate that what he did to Trick Williams. Hate it. However, I will say that we're going to look back on this attack on Trick Williams as his I'm taking my talents to South Beach moment. We all hated it. We all that was the worst way you could have done this. That was the worst way you could have betrayed the closest people to you. But you know what? Going to go on to win a lot of championships. Going to go on to be a big star. Going to go on to be one of the best of all time. Going to be the face of a brand, of a company, of an entire sport. I think that we hate this moment with Trick Williams and what Carmelo Hayes did to him, but it's going to bring Carmelo Hayes to that level that we've always believed he could be at.
Yeah, just like hit strangers in the back of their legs. That's how you get ahead. But let's talk about attack.
They weren't strangers.
Fair enough. Hit your friends in the back of their legs. speaking of attacks, can we say the words sneak attack? We had our first matchup here in NXT this week. It was Von Wagner and Mr. Stone, a tag team match against Oro Mensah and Noam Dar. But they literally said those words as they beat them backstage. But you know what? It was all for not, because the main man, Full Scoop of Mensa and Supernova 11 gets to win once more. What does Von Wagner and Mr. Stone have to do? Because they are slipping on banana peels all over when it comes to these two of Metaphor.
I've said this before, I'll say it again. They need to quit. They need to quit getting goofy. They need to quit planning and scheming and doing all these videos, showing what they're doing outside of the ring. And they need to be in the ring more often. You know, they talk, look, Robert Stone's a wrestler. He's great at what he does in there. And you see the guy, he's shredded, great shape. But when was the last time he wrestled? Of course he's not ready to be in the ring with two killers like Noam Dar and Oro Mensah. Of course he's not going to be able to hang with them. And Von Wagner, also a massive powerhouse, he hardly wrestles anymore either. So how can we expect him to be ready? There's so much time between matches. Of course these guys aren't ready. And that's why they had to resort to a sneak attack. I won't be mad at them, but to be fair, that was the best strategy they could have had in that situation. So of course they weren't ready. Of course they weren't going to get the win. The thing about emotion and the thing about getting hyped up and being excited is it only lasts so long. And once the match gets going and once it gets down to in between the ropes, the guys who are doing it week in and week out, like the champion Noam Dar and his Metaphor partner Oro Mensah do every single week, they're going to be better. And that's just what happens. And so it didn't surprise me.
Just for context, Mr. Stone's last match was against Bron Breakker, which also didn't go well for Mr. Stone. He got speared in half. It looks like the No Quarter Catch crew wants a piece of the Heritage Cup Championship, though. So Noam Dar has to have his head on a swivel.
I mean, it just goes to show how great of a champion Noam Dar has been, right? This is a championship and a style of match that's really foreign to most people in the U.S., but because of the way he's defended it, because of the way he's treated it and the respect he's given to it, now people want it. Now people are fighting for it. Reminds me, I don't want to keep saying the name over and over again, but Gunther, you know, he had this championship, the Intercontinental Championship, that was, you know, it was cool, but then he had it and he treated it with so much respect and he defended it so powerfully every single time he got in the ring that people now, they want it. It's like one of the biggest championships in all pro wrestling. I think that Noam Dar is doing that with the Heritage Cup.
You think I noticed that slip in there? You said the Inner City Championship. Sucker. Yeah. Shout out to Jack Farnham. He works all over these promotions, baby. I love it.
Yes, it's Santino Brothers, Inner City Championship on the line March 16th at
Santino Brothers is just a fantastic thing. They're a fantastic school and they have a really good show. And the fact you're part of it's always pretty awesome as well. But about the recorded pack crew, two questions. One, do you mind stalking them? And two, if you had a choice of picking some of the challenge Noam Dar, who would you pick? Because they have that free bird new day rule as well. So who would you have a challenge Noam Dar and would you buy stalking them?
As of now, I'm not buying stock in them because they're going up against Noam Dar next. They're not beating Noam Dar. Noam Dar is the greatest Heritage champion of all time. It's like trying to buy stock in someone before they have a match with Roman Reigns. It's the worst time to buy stock in them. So I'm not buying stock in them right now. Also, I've said before, I don't like the genetic makeup of a team that says that they are the best wrestlers on the planet, but then also need to try to surprise you with which one of them you're going to be facing so that they can plan in advance before the fight. They sound like people who defend Batman against a Superman fight. Like, how much time do they have to prepare? I don't buy into that. If I had to pick though, who I'm going to have face Noam Dar, I think the answer is very easy and it's Dempsey. I think Charlie Dempsey is someone who understands British wrestling better than anyone else in that group. I think he understands the Heritage Cup rules better than anyone in that group. And he's frankly built to be successful in that type of matchup. Charlie Dempsey is the person with a bullet I would put in that match.
Come to think of it, I think Charlie Dempsey actually has the most experience. So why be a smart choice? I got two more questions for you before we get to the MVP thing. One of them is kind of interesting. So I know the past couple of weeks, there have been these vignettes, these promos on a black screen about a potential new talent or a new match or a new movement here in NXT. This week says, quote, "Goodness is a man's struggle. Evil, however, is human nature." WTF, man? What's going on?
I have no idea. NXT
you can guess and or speculate. Oh.
I mean, you know, NXT is so good about bringing in big names, but also bringing in names you haven't heard of before. So any guess is literally just going to be throwing a dart at a wall, you know, fair with enough. A blindfold on. Just for funsies, I'll say Okada.
Oh, wow. I was going to say maybe Scripps is back doing the poetry, but yeah, I guess Okada's better if you compare the two ideas. Whoops.
I mean, Scripps, I think, Scream. Is still with out the mud, as far as we know. Again, if I'm Jada Parker, I'm saying, listen, I want his half of the cut.
Fair enough. Roxanne Perez is kind of complaining, man. When did Roxanne Perez become Cora Jade?
I mean, I think now more than ever, Roxanne Perez understands Cora Jade. You know, they've had their issues in the past, but I have a feeling that Roxanne Perez is now like, you know what? I owe Cora Jade an apology. I think that Cora Jade was actually right about a lot of things. And that's why she's starting to act that way. And by the way, Ren Sinclair, who are you to talk to Roxanne Perez that way? No big deal. Like, what? She acts like
she's trying to be helpful. Fine.
That's not helpful. You'll be okay. No, she's not Brinley Reese. She's not going to be okay with you tried your best. Like,
wait, Roxanne, no one corners the market on kindness, Jack. Are you kidding me?
You absolutely can corner the market on kindness.
Boy, have I tried.
So yeah, I get why Roxanne Perez is upset. I think it's also a little upsetting that this person who really hasn't had a fair shake at a title shot yet, even though she's earned multiple opportunities at them, has to now have another match before she may get a shot at the title again. I don't agree with Ava here. I don't agree with what's going on. I think Roxanne Perez has every right to be upset about the way she's been treated.
What do you mean? She had a match on Vengeance Day and she lost.
Lola Vice stuck her nose in it and messed things up.
That's her right. But the match happened and she is marked in the column in the L side as a loser.
So I get that. That's why the match played out that way. That's fine. But I think just as a general manager, you have to understand that you've got this challenger who should be treated as a top challenger. I mean, regardless of what happened at Vengeance Day, and she should still have that opportunity given to her. The fact that she has to wrestle another match to me is just disrespectful. It makes me remember the days of William Regal, who I always supported as a visionary.
You never did on the show.
As a GM.
You said that I was so glad that Samoa Joe was doing something because William Regal wasn't.
You know, I think one of the main things is Regal always had his head down in the books. You know, he was always in his office, always at his desk, getting things done.
Ava said he was way too active.
Ava's always drifting around, talking, trying to chat people up. I think Ava needs to get into the office and get down into the books and make sure she's just doing the right things.
Well, speaking of the books, Josh Briggs and Brooke Jensen got into a fight backstage, and Ava was there, and she had that match booked. It's going to be next week. Briggs Jensen 1-on-1.
Well, I think this is going to be good for both guys. I think Josh Briggs is going to get another opportunity to showcase just how dominant he's become since the tag team broke up, and I think that Brooks Jensen is going to learn that saying you've toughened up doesn't mean you have. I think this will be a real learning experience for Jensen, and I think this will be a real chance for him to see just how far he needs to go.
Can't believe he's like being all whiffly waffly riding the fence. Maybe I hope that both guys have fun. I'm just putting it out there. All right. Well, as we roll on, it's now time for my favorite time of the show. Now time for my favorite segment of the show. It's the MVP of NXT. Shout out to the Miami Heat. Jack Farmer, that's where I get to ask you, who stuck out for you, individual tag team referee, who made it work this week?
Shotzi. I mean, we talk about making the most of your time, making the most of your minutes, as they say. We just talked about how hard it is for someone like Roxanne Perez, who's been unbeatable for so long, to get a title shot and all the hoops she has to jump through. Shotzi, she just shoots out a few tweets, shows up to the performance center, and boom, bing, bang, boom, she's got a title shot. I mean, MVP, done and done.
You know what? You convinced me. I was like, you know what? super confident, slimy Shotzi is something I want to see. So, yes, I have Bron Breakker, even though I think he made the wrong decision as far as going the fast track, the long, winding road. You can't say that this show would be different without the fact that he speared an entire mafia on his own. So, shout out to Bron Breakker with the MVP this week.
You know, obviously, the Wolf Dogs, they deserve the MVP as well. They won the championships. It's hard to argue that. I guess on my end, they should have, like, they're so dominant. I mean, they should have won that match. So, but you're right. I mean, how do you argue it? I mean, great team, and I think a very great future as long as they can stay on that same page.
I think Goodfellas would be a different movie if someone was just spearing people in the back.
Bro. Could you imagine? Bro.
Hey, come to get you. Bada boom.
Did I say something funny to you? Oh.
Who's next? All right. So, not the Jax Hammer. All right. Right. Yeah. Draped in Gold is your one-stop shop for NXT content. Unfortunately, no episode next week because your boy Flo Pito is going to make the very long 20-hour flight over to Perth for Elimination Chamber. So if you're going to be out there that day, say hello. I'll probably bring a colossal Bronson Reed shirt, not a big Bronson Reed shirt, because he hadn't got new merch in a while. What are you going to do the time when I'm gone, Jack? You going to do some fun? You going to plant some trees? What's up?
You know, I'm probably not going to plant any trees, but I've been fostering a couple of puppies for Wags and Walks here in Los Angeles. Aww. So if you're looking at adopting some dogs, Wags and Walks, they are a rescue group that they take dogs from high kill shelters in Los Angeles and help find them a home. And so you can check them out at Wags and Walks or as I said, or you can foster, which is pretty cool. It's like you get to have a free puppy for 2 weeks. And then when someone adopts them, you just give them back. Or if 2 weeks is up, you go, I don't want anymore. And you give them back and you get a different puppy, or you don't get a different puppy. It's fostering's a pretty cool thing. I didn't know much about it until recently, but yeah.
I commend you because I'm barely holding myself on by thread. The fact that you do it with another life form means the world to us, man. That's awesome.
Well, I'll tell you, it's so much easier to take care of a puppy than it is to take care of yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Because I would totally eat pellets if I had the chance to do it. Okay. DrapeTheGold.com. Make sure you drop that 5 stars if you can. Be back 2 weeks from now. Talk about everything that's happening in the NXT universe. But until that time, Jack Farmer, please say the words.
Do your best and be yourself.